I'm Christian Schultz, junior editor for Slug, and you're listening to Slug Soundwaves, the official podcast of Slug Magazine in Salt Lake City, Utah. Slug, an acronym for Salt Lake Underground, is one of the oldest independent publications in the United States, covering music, lifestyle, arts, and events. In this episode, we'll be talking to political, hard mod, and oi punk band Hard Left. Hard Left is a hard mod band from Oakland, California, featuring members of Lunchbox, Boy Racer, and Black Tambourine. The group started in May of 2014, carrying an early punk attitude and leftist politics front and center in their lyrics. Since forming, the band have released several singles and side tracks on compilations and split releases. In May 2015, they released their first full-length album, We Are Hard Left. We'll be listening to an interview conducted with Mike Schulman and Tim Brown later in this episode. But first, we're going to be playing a track from We Are Hard Left. This is called New Year. You just heard New Year from Hard Left's debut album, We Are Hard Left. Let's hear Slug managing editor Alexander Ortega's interview with the band.
I'm just kind of wondering about, first of all, your sort of appetite for hard mod or oi music and how you guys kind of got into making this band.
I don't know, I like all kinds of different stuff. The label, I don't think it would be possible for it to reflect all the stuff that I like. And I've always liked Oi, and I've always liked punk rock. That's kind of how I came up with music. I've been in various bands and have been a little closer to this. It's the first band I've been in that sounds like this, I guess.
I guess for me, punk rock is, well, I guess The Who was my earliest love, but shortly following that, punk rock was my earliest love, and I was still nominally in that band, Juke, that was on the lookout in the 90s, and so there's some punk rock, a little bit of punk rock history for me, but in terms of, like, as a musician, that's my name. Despite my decades-long indie pop excursion, my original, thing is really, like, punk rock guitar, so this is very, kind of goes back to my earliest roots, so it's kind of nice in that way.
Usually, I think a lot of people would probably say that boy music is, like, kind of angry, and it definitely has, some anger against, like, that too. But in addition to that, it's also really fun, and I have seen that you guys really wanted to create a sort of uplifting spirit with We Are Hard Left. What inspired you to kind of give it that feel?
Everything you just said is totally correct. I mean, the political motivations are very serious, and the anger is certainly there. But, you know, I think we wanted it to be fun. I think if you're doing music with a message or political music, I think it can be really boring if it's just very finger-pointing and very strident and hectoring. You know, one of the things that always appealed to me about this style of music, you know, boy or whatever you want to call it, is that it was really fun. You can't listen to a Sham 69 record without singing along and pumping your fist, and it's just really, really exciting. And I think the kind of, like you pointed out, the idea of uplift and, you know, the spirit of camaraderie that we try to foster on the record is, you know, it's kind of part of that boy thing, really. It's very much like a spirit of togetherness, and it was always about that. But, you know, we're about more than just going down the pub.
Yeah, that spirit of togetherness from Oi really flows really nicely into more explicitly left-wing, you know, ideas and critiques. You know, it's really, I think that's one of the things we're trying to do is kind of connect the dots, you know, say, yeah, like, obviously we have a love for, you know, British post-war subcultures and the iconography of it, of Mod and a bunch of other stuff, and the shout-along nature of Oi and the whole terrorist tom-tom beat, shout-along, sloganeering. So it's really actually a super small step from that to connecting with the kind of energy and iconography of the you know, the working class movements since, you know, the 19th century or whatever. You know, it's like that's sort of like marching, singing, sloganeering, bold iconography of those movements really is a natural fit, you know, for this kind of music, you know, I think.
Why haven't more people done it before?
Right.
For people who listen to We Are Hard Left, what are the main ideas that you'd like to impart to them with this record?
The fact that they can change their situation, the fact that they should think of we and not I. We consider the excessive focus on the I to be the biggest problem in American society and Western society more general. Hard Left is about we and not I. And then Hard Left's also not about you in the sense of finger pointing, you did this to me, you know, you do this, you do that. It's about we and what we can do together. And it's sufficiently vague in a positive sense to allow people to put their ideas onto, because we're not, you know, like, we're not like vanguard party types. We're not like doctrinaire Marxist Leninists, or we're certainly not Leninist of any sort.
I think that's important, yeah. We're not giving you the solutions, you know?
Yeah.
We're not handing you down your marching orders. We're just looking to excite you and to give you, like, the feeling that there are alternatives, you know, that you can use your imagination and think of ways to improve your situation, you know, with your comrades.
And music should be, it can and should be about more than just, you know, like, you're on a Wii, you know, as a someone who's coming of age, or your whole sort of, you know, kind of just like slacker kind of disengagement. Like, it really, you know, there's a long history of music and other art forms that are political, and we just think that in a time like this, music should be about something. And I think, you know, Mike and I probably, you know, share the view that so-called indie culture is really, really about nothing, even more than it ever was. You know,
it's so, we kind of want
so that. Vacuous.
Yeah. It's like aggressively vacuous. It raises vacuity to a virtue.
Right. That's right, exactly.
Which is painful.
It's like this post-ideological, post-political moment of self-disempowerment, you know. We really want to challenge that.
A lot of times, Oi music or this type of punk rock is associated with the skinhead movement, and for those who don't know, for this recording, you know, skinheads aren't racists or anything like that. They're an apolitical subculture that started in England, who loved reggae and ska and Jamaican immigrants and so on and so forth. Do you guys feel like you identify with skinhead culture by being in this band and making music in this band?
Yeah, I mean, kind of. I mean, you know, we're not skinheads, but I think that you know, we do look to that moment for inspiration.
know, the original boy bands were mostly not made up of skinheads. There are some skinheads scattered throughout them, and like four skinheads.
Like four top ten and one or two skinheads.
Yeah. You know, and I think that the whole like boy thing and the shout along choruses and the sort of like football terrorist drive, you know, aesthetics will probably be appealing to skinheads who like, you know, like sort of like boy punk or, you know, like more explicitly like skinny kind of punk or whatever. But as Mike pointed out, you know, we're not really skinheads and we don't really have any kind of relationship to the subculture other than kind of a partly aesthetic one, I suppose. And you know, I think in general, we just really like British post-war youth subcultures, especially mod. And we took the term hard mod because hard mod is kind of the moment of transition from the original mods of the early mid-60s to skinhead, like circa 68, you know, 69 or whatever. So we kind of took that self-description on purpose to kind of suggest this affinity with that whole trajectory and this moment that is you know, got kind of the smart sharpness of mod, but has also got this football terrorist, I guess, element. Better term, yeah.
Right. I've seen some footage of the Hard Left show, and Mike, you're just like, look like you're having a really good time. And can you just kind of speak to the sort of atmosphere that Hard Left seek to generate in your shows?
Well, you're right. I mean, I have a great time. I think we all have a great time when we're playing. It seems like such an obvious thing, but I've been in bands before where everyone's not having a great time when they're playing, and I think it's really important. And I think if you're having a great time, the people watching you are going to have a much better chance of having a great time also. And I think that what we're trying to create, and you know, there is a certain aspect of theater to what we do. You know, it doesn't show on the videos, but you know, sometimes we enter from the back of the room, and we're carrying our left flag, and we're banging a drum, and we're, you know, doing kind of a hard leftified football chant, and clapping and stomping our feet, and we're, you know, just to kind of get people excited. You know, I mean, what Tim was talking about earlier, the kind of like this ennui of the indie culture and how it's so blasé and so disassociated and disconnected from actual passion and feeling. You know, I think what we want people to feel is excited. You know, we want people to be as excited as we are about the songs and as excited as we are about the ideas behind them.
Yeah, we don't want to be cool. You know, we kind of reject that notion at this point. It's played, you know.
Yeah.
I agree with everything Mike said. I mean, we definitely, you know, we often talk about the fact that we're trying to do the band that we wanted to exist. Like, we're trying to do the band that we wish someone else would do for us. Like, if I wasn't in this band and I saw a band that, you know, did the stuff that we do and have the songs that we have and the way our album looks and the whole sort of iconography of the band, I'd be super jealous. You know, like dang it, that's the band that I should do. So we really, there's a lot of theater to it, and there's also just an attempt to do something kind of wholeheartedly and not hold back and not worry about whether we're like fitting into this or fitting into that or whether we're perceived as cool or weird or whatever. We're just doing what we would wish someone would do, and if people like that, which they seem to, then that's really cool. You know, you would like to make it. If you think something's really cool, at least some other people are also going to think it's really cool. I would guardedly say that that's the case, you know, but either way, you know, it's like we're just trying to do what we think a band should kind of be in a best case scenario. It is what it is.
Sometimes, like, a punk band or something, or subgenres of punk can sort of pull people who are diehards for that subgenre or whatnot. And what you guys seem to be doing is something a little new with like hard mod or with oi music and whatnot. And so I'm just wondering, what audience are you guys aiming to garner with this band?
I'd like the audience to be like early punk.
Yeah.
Before uniforms.
Yeah, before it was so codified.
Before it was so codified, like, you know, like, just you have, like, so-called, you know, normal people show up,
the freaks, you know. It's definitely, you know, we're not trying to get some kind of, uniformed crowd out in front of us. We just really wanted to attract people who are excited by the kind of music and the ideas behind it, I think. So if the crowd is somewhat eclectic, I think that's all too good.
Kind of going back to, like, the indie pop idea and the Slumberland Records idea, just with your guys' like passion for this style of music, do you think there's kind of a hope that people who are into some of the softer stuff will kind of be turned on to not only hard left, but this heritage of music and sort of the political robustness that it's kind of known for?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I've been in the indie pop game for an awfully long time, and you know, most of the people that I know who are into it, like really into it, are into lots of other stuff too. And I heard, you know, indie pop came out of post punk, which came out of punk, and there is, you know, like a pretty strong line you can draw from punk to indie pop. And I, you know, I, especially in the UK, a lot of most indie pop people I know in the UK are like, they're punks, really. And politically, like most indie pop people are, you know, are understanding of some of the stuff that we're talking about. You know, I don't think it's that out of left field for us to do a band like this. I mean, I can see how it can be a little jarring to some people, but
I think it's also important to point out that Slumberland's, like, he might put out some quiet stuff, but I've never thought of it as a quiet label. There's a lot of, like super raw, feedbacky punk or just, you know, abrasive kind of music that someone puts out, which I think that aesthetic is as important, if not more important, aspect of someone than some of the more explicitly, you know, soft stuff. But I think Mike's right too, that there is this lineage and trajectory that's not really such a stretch. Like this thing anecdotally that I've noticed everyone I know from indie pop around here seems like really excited by the idea of the band, but I don't think that's because it's a novelty. And you look at the guy from Slumberland, the people from Lunchbox are making a punk band, ha ha ha, you know, I think they just actually like punk rock, you know, like, I don't know that many people who don't like punk rock.
That'd be pretty much.
I'd be extremely suspicious of them.
And so, you know, what we're doing is, like, you know, a pretty accessible style of punk rock. You know, it's not hardcore and it's not power violence. I can imagine my mom singing along to it. Like, my 6-year-old definitely likes it. I mean, that's part of, I think, what part of the populist appeal of it, you know, is that it's fun, it's accessible, you can sing along to it, you get it, you know.
And they're pop songs. Like, that's what's important about Boy. Like, that's why, like, I revere Sham so much, because Sham just does, like, a bunch of killer pop songs, you know, in a distorted, forceful, shout-along way. And, you know, I mean, obviously, Boy draws stylistically on glam. It draws on kind of the English music hall tradition, and, like, punk sing-alongs and all that. And all of that is popular music in the real sense of the word. And I just think, like, for me, you know, I write the songs for the band, and Mike and I, you know, tinker with the words and stuff, but basically the goal is to produce Sham-like pop gems with terrorist beats that have the most of the anarcho-Marxist. It's kind of like a real disorderly combination, I think.
And so, Tim, you mentioned that sort of your guitar playing that you kind of came into was like kind of punk and Boy style guitar. Which bands do you think you channel in Hard Left with your guitar playing on We Are Hard Left?
Pistols, obviously. Pistols, Damned, Sham. I was really influenced by Black Flag early on, but I would say, I guess my real biggest influences are 70s, you know, UK 77 punk, especially Captain Sensible, Steve Jones, and that kind of sped up Chuck Berry kind of thing that they do. And
Brian James,
totally, yeah, Generation X, huge influence. Thanks, Mark. I know it's going to be important. And also, yeah, The Clash. Obviously, I'm really into it. I don't play lead
mean so terribly much to the band, but I'm a huge Nick Jones fan. I'm related to the idea that Mott the Hoople was his favorite band because I'm related to Mott the Hoople. And I'm always seeking out kind of, this is more like a songwriting thing, but I'm always kind of seeking out the internal like essence of the style. Like, so I'm always trying to not hate Boy per se, but like Progenitor's Boy, you know,
right.
like the kind of like, what are the glam roots of Boy? Like, that's a real rich vein, I think, to explore, you know, so that you end up doing something that's, you know, that's got that pop thing and got the glam thing that possibly could produce something fresh rather than copying from the copy, as it were.
The copy from the original. Copy of everything.
I'm Rebecca.
I'm Danielle.
I'm Crystal.
And I'm Cherry. And if you like your geek news with a bit of a twist, then you'll love
Hello, Sweetie.
Hello, Sweetie podcast brings you the latest and greatest geek news and information from an all-female panel.
We'll bring you the most recent information about movies, TV, comic books,
video games, roller derby, pop culture, and more. Subscribe on iTunes and like us on Facebook.
For your weekly dose of geek culture from a female perspective, tune in to
Hello, Sweetie!
Now that we're back from break, let's hear another track from We Are Hard Left. This track is called Stay True. You just heard Stay True off of Hard Left's debut album, We Are Hard Left. Visit slugmag.com to find out more about Hard Left. Thanks for listening to Slug Soundwaves. For all things Slug Magazine, visit slugmag.com. Send us suggestions of what you'd like to hear on the show by emailing us at soundwaves@slugmag.com or hit us up on Twitter @slugsoundwaves. This podcast was created by Slug Magazine and is produced by Gavin Sheehan. The associate producers are Alexander Ortega, Christian Schultz, Henry Glashin, and John Ford. The executive producer is Angela H. Brown. Our show's theme was performed by Temples, our main logo and art design by Nicholas Dowd, and the technical design was by Kate Colgan. Next week we'll be chatting with Provo-based psych country band The Troubles and previewing new music from Slug's Death by Salt compilation. Thanks for listening.